Luke. I'm just going to read one verse. Just Luke. Luke chapter 18. And I agree with everything that's been said. We just miss being together. And, you know, I was telling the Sunday school class, here we decided to come back to church here on February 8th, and it's colder than it was last Sunday. I mean, good grief, you know. I mean, we could have had church last Sunday and canceled today, but when you guys start calling me through the week, I'm saying, like, we're going to have a riot up in here if we don't open up these church doors. Because, I mean, people want to come to church. I say, like, well, I just don't want anybody to get, you know, cold or slip on the ice or whatever. But, well, y'all are ready to go. So I said, hey, we doing this. We're doing this. So God is good. God is good. So I just want to also shout out Sister Lillian and Sister Debbie Gray's family. The family is here, and we're honoring Shalia today. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. So Sister Shalia is going to be going to the Air Force in a few days. So I'll let her talk about it later on. But we want to just give her a BBC send-off and just thank God for her. And elders, we're going to anoint her with oil and pray over her. That God is just going to protect her and bless her and keep her and strengthen her and advance her career and just be successful in all that she does. So we're just thankful for her and her family being here today. Let's just give the Lord another hand clap because we're so grateful, so thankful. So here's what it says in Luke 18, verse 8, the King James Version says this: I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And so let me just say this. This whole parable, I won't go through it because we talked about it before when I did parables, and we talked about it in Sunday school. But let me just give you just a quick synopsis. A woman, she was a widow. She's without kids, without resources, without money, didn't have a lawyer, didn't have an advocate. She had been unjustly treated. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they took her property, took her house. I don't know if they didn't give her her pension or support or what went down, but she had been taken advantage of and mistreated. She went to the judge, and the judge didn't care for people, didn't care for God, didn't care what people thought about him. He didn't care about his reputation, and he certainly was crooked and corrupt. She went to him, and she asked, can I get justice? And the judge said no. So the woman, being a widow, not having a husband, not having a lawyer, not having a son, not having anybody, and of course, in a first century society, when you didn't have a male dominant figure in your home, you were almost basically powerless. Even if your husband left you a great inheritance, you still were mistreated in that particular culture. So the lady did the only thing that she could do, the only recourse she had available in her arsenal, and that is she kept going back. Tuesday, Wednesday, sorry, Thursday. By Friday, she's, hope there's no one downstairs. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Don't start till 6:30. Saturday, she's just every day she's knocking. She's seeking. She's asking for justice. She keeps storming this guy's, I guess, his residence. Because I don't think he's in court every day. But if he's in court, she's there every day. Finally, the guy says, if I don't give this woman her justice, she is going to drive me crazy. So he finally relents. He said, I'm not relenting because I love God. I'm not relenting because I love justice. I'm not relenting because of fairness. I'm relenting because this lady will not let me get any rest. She's bamming on my door every day. I gotta deal with this. And the Lord said, if this judge, being wicked, being corrupt, not honoring or reverencing God, not caring about justice at all, if he would take care of this woman because of her persistence, how much more so will your heavenly Father, who loves you, who is just, who is fair, who is caring, how much more so will he take care of you? And so he says in conclusion in Luke 18:8, when the Lord returns, which we could do a whole eschatological study on just the return of the Lord and the sequence of events on how the Bible lays out his return and his coming and, you know, the various aspects of his second coming and the rapture and the return of the Lord. But you know what? I just want to focus on the last phrase, the last paragraph, or actually the last phrase of that particular sentence of that paragraph, and that is, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? So listen, the word faith is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it can be interpreted two ways. There's two schools of thought. Some scholars and theologians think the word faith there represents, will he find faith? In other words, will he find people of faith? Will he find believers, people that have been converted by faith? Okay. You know, we're saved by what? We're saved by grace through what vehicle? Through faith. So will he find people that have been converted? But there's another school of thought to which I subscribe, and that is, will he find faith, with the word, Greek word there in the original, standing for and meaning faithfulness? Will he find people that are faithful in spite of the time it's taking and in spite of the circumstances they're going through? So here's the message. So listen, I think the Lord is looking for people that will be faithful. And you know what? Matthew 25 sort of subscribes to that same school of thought, because he says to the servant to whom he gave five talents and to the servant to whom he gave two talents, he said to them, because they went out and duplicated their investment, talking about ROI. Boy, those guys were go-getters, right? They brought back that and then some. He said to you, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's that word faithful, pistis in the Greek. Faithful, my faithful servant, my servant that, and I, you know, I've said this before, and I won't break a, you know, be a broken record, but he didn't say my talented. He didn't say my talented servant. He didn't say my gifted servant. He didn't say my skilled servant. He didn't say my servant with all kinds of talents. He said faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. God is looking for perseverance, consistency. Amen. So here's an example of which. In the Old Testament, you got to go way back. In the Old Testament, there was this dude called King Joash. J-O-A-S-H. Actually, there's two spellings, J-O-H-A-S-H also. But this king was the king of Israel, not a very good dude. But he did a wise thing, one wise thing. He went to the prophet Elisha. With an S. Who is Elisha, Pastor Will? He's the dude that went to God and said, hey, will you give me a double portion of Elijah's power, of Elijah's blessing, of Elijah's anointing? And the Lord said, if you see him when he goes up in the chariot, you'll get it. Long story short, Elisha was even more powerful than Elijah. And I've already documented to you guys many, many times in sermons how great Elijah was, right? The guy that took care of the 450 prophets of Baal, the guy that called down fire from heaven, the guy that was able to heal people by just speaking the word like the Lord, the guy whom God used in miraculous ways. Also a dude that hid in a cave. But that's another story for another day, to which we've also talked to ad nauseum about. But Elisha, with an S, was sick and dying. And, you know, what I've often talked to you guys about, you know, one of the benefits of being a pastor, I don't know if it's a benefit, one of the things that are sobering about being a pastor is that I have to sometimes talk to people that are on their deathbed or dying or visiting them in hospices. And I remember preaching a sermon at Indian Hills that when someone that's dying speaks, and me particularly, I'm just all ears. I'm just listening. I wasn't there. I wasn't with my mother the day she died. I was it was this month, by the way, February. And it's amazing too, because she gave me a book before she died, and the title of the book is Don't Die in Winter. I still have that book. My mother died in the winter, but it wasn't talking about the season of winter. It was talking about a season in your life where you are cold and away from the Lord. Don't die when you are in a state of coldness, a state of withdrawal, a state where you're not communicating with God regularly, a state that where you're not connected, a state where you are disenfranchised, as it were, from the Lord, and you're in a cold season, and you're withdrawn, and you're not on fire for Him, and you're not connected with Him, and you're not growing, and you're not energized spiritually. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your joy. You've lost your connection. And so now you're living disconnected. You're cold and removed. She said, don't die there. Don't die on that hill. Okay, I digress. So my point is that, you know, this period of time, this period where the Lord here in Luke 18 is talking about, you know, will I find faithfulness? So I thought about this guy. And I think it's in 2 Kings. Marcus might put, oh, that's a picture of my mother. Don't make me cry, Marcus. I'm trying to preach here, bro. I need to stay focused. Okay. There's a passage in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. And Elisha is dying. And so Jehoash, king of Israel, comes to him weeping. He's crying. And he's trying to get a prophetic word for victory. And so the prophet in 2 Kings, and I'm going to read it just in the interest of time, because we have the Lord's table, and plus we want to honor Sister Shalia. So I'm just going to give you the story in a shortened version, or the account, rather. In 2 Kings 13, Elisha, told Joash, he said, shoot your arrows through the east window. That's the Lord's arrow of victory. And he also said, take the arrows that are left and strike the ground. Do y'all remember this account? Yeah, yeah. Y'all with me? Okay. So, Peyton, thank you. So he said, strike the ground. And so here's what Joash did. The Bible says, he said, he took the arrows and he took them and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote the ground three times. And it says in the King James Version, stayed. A better translation is stopped. He stopped. And so, Peyton, put up the next verse, if you will, please. Verse 19. And the man of God, this was Elisha with an S, was wroth. We don't say wroth in 2026. We say salty, angry, upset, mad. Some of y'all say other words, but we forgive you. Okay, thou shouldest have smitten, which means hit, five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria, but only three times. Translate it. I gave you a tool, a weapon of victory. I said, hit the ground. Basically, in the original Hebrew, it suggests keep hitting and don't stop. So Joash, I brought a prop today. He does this. And that was kind of perfunctory. It was kind of like obligatory. Just like, okay, you said hit the ground here. You happy? You good? Can we move on? Because this is ridiculous. What is hitting the ground with some arrows going to do to an enemy with an army that could smash us to pieces? You're going to go to, what's the emperor, the prime minister from China? Chi? Okay, you're going to go to China's prime minister. You know, we're going to fight China, right? And you're going to say, okay, we're going to get China. All right, we won. No. Bad example, but the point is that Joash did not believe. He wasn't faithful. He didn't keep trusting. Hitting the ground multiple times, striking it the ground multiple times, was a way of saying, I'm all in. I'm leaning in on what the prophet is saying. I buy this. I'm all with this. I believe this. I trust this. This is going to work. We're going to be victorious. We're going to be successful. And I'm going to keep hitting it. I hope there's no one downstairs. I'll stop. We're going to keep hitting it. We're going to keep bamming it. We're going to keep trusting. We're going to keep believing, God, and I'm not going to stop until you tell me to stop. Amen. We're going to keep striking. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep trusting. We're going to remain faithful and persevere like the lady that wanted justice. And she went to the judge's house, I would imagine, every day. When you show that kind of attitude, that's telling the Lord you mean business. That's telling the Lord you're locked in. That's telling the Lord that you trust him. I'm coming to you, Lord, every day. I need you. I want you. I love you. I serve you. I desire you. I want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to spend time with you. I don't even have anything I want to ask for. I just want to hang out. I'm done. That was it. That was it. Lord, I just ask you that you will just help us. Help us to be locked in. Help us to seek you like there's no tomorrow. Help us to strike the ground and keep striking the ground and keep striking the ground and keep believing you and trusting you and leaning on you and having faith in you, because we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And we stand on these promises. We stand on your word, for you are faithful and you're not as a man that would lie. You keep your promises. And Lord, even when we can't see clear-cut, unmistakable results, we know that you're still on the job. We know that you're still working. We know that you're still fixing. We know that you're still healing. We know that you're still delivering. We know that you're still taking care of business, and you're resolving and providing solutions to problems that we haven't even encountered yet. Yes. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.